Book 13, Chapter 12, How Alexander, when he had taken the government, made an expedition against Ptolemais, and then raised the siege out of fear of Ptolemy Lathyrus, and how Ptolemy made war against him, because he had sent to Cleopatra to persuade her to make war against Ptolemy, and yet pretended to be in friendship with him, when he beat the Jews in the battle. When Aristobulus was dead, his wife Salome, who, by the Greeks, was called Alexandra, let his brethren out of prison, for Aristobulus had kept them in bonds, as we have said already, and made Alexander Janneus king, who was the superior in age and in moderation. This child happened to be hated by his father as soon as he was born, and could never be permitted to come into his father's sight till he died. The occasion of which hatred is thus reported. When Hyrcanus chiefly loved the two eldest of his sons, Antigonus and Aristobulus, God appeared to him in his sleep, of whom he inquired which of his sons should be his successor. Upon God's representing to him the countenance of Alexander, he was grieved that he was to be the heir of all his goods, and suffered him to be brought up in Galilee. However, God did not deceive Hyrcanus, for after the death of Aristobulus, he certainly took the kingdom, and one of his brethren, who affected the kingdom, he slew. And the other, who chose to live a private and quiet life, he had in esteem. When Alexander Janneus had settled the government in the manner that he judged best, he made an expedition against Ptolemais, and having overcome the men in battle, he shut them up in the city, and sat round about it, and besieged it. For of the maritime cities there remained only Ptolemais and Gaza to be conquered, besides Strato's tower and Dora, which were held by the tyrant Zoilus. Now while Antiochus Philometor, and Antiochus who was called Sisenus, were making war one against another, and destroying one another's armies, the people of Ptolemais could have no assistance from them. But when they were distressed with this siege, Zoilus, who possessed Strato's tower and Dora, and maintained a legion of soldiers, and, on occasion of the contest between the kings, affected tyranny himself, came and brought some small assistance to the people of Ptolemais. Nor indeed had the kings such a friendship for them, as that they should hope for any advantage from them. Both these kings were in the case of wrestlers, who finding themselves deficient in strength, and yet being ashamed to yield, put off the fight by laziness, and by lying still as long as they can. The only hope they had remaining was from the kings of Egypt and from Ptolemy Lathyrus, who now held Cyprus, and who came to Cyprus when he was driven from the government of Egypt by Cleopatra his mother. So the people of Ptolemais sent to this Ptolemy Lathyrus, and desired him to come as a confederate to deliver them. Now they were in such danger, out of the hands of Alexander. And as the ambassadors gave him hopes, that if he would pass over into Syria, he would have the people of Gaza on the side of those of Ptolemais. As also they said, that Zoilus, and besides these the Sidonians, and many others, would assist them. So he was elevated at this, and got his fleet ready as soon as possible. But in this interval, Demenetus, one that was of abilities to persuade men to do as he would have them, and a leader of the populace, made those of Ptolemais change their opinions, and said to them that it was better to run the hazard of being subject to the Jews than to admit of evident slavery by delivering themselves up to a master. And besides that, to have not only a war at present, but to expect a much greater war with Egypt. For that Cleopatra would not overlook an army raised by Ptolemy for himself out of the neighborhood, but would come against them with a great army of her own, and this because she was laboring to eject her son out of Cyprus also. That as for Ptolemy, if he fail of his hopes, he can still retire to Cyprus, but that they would be left in the greatest danger possible. Now Ptolemy, although he had heard of the change that was made in the people of Ptolemais, yet did he still go on with his voyage, and came to the country called Sycamine, and there set his army on shore. This army of his, in the whole horse and foot together, were about 30,000, with which he marched near to Ptolemais, and there pitched his camp. But when the people of Ptolemais neither received his ambassadors, nor would hear what they had to say, he was under a very great concern. But when Zoilus and the people of Gaza came to him, and desired his assistance, because their country was laid waste by the Jews, and by Alexander, Alexander raised the siege, for fear of Ptolemy. And when he had drawn off his army into his own country, he used a stratagem afterwards, by privately inviting Cleopatra to come against Ptolemy, but publicly pretending to desire a league of friendship and mutual assistance with him, and promising to give him 400 talents of silver. He desired that, by way of requital, he would take off Zoilus the tyrant, and give his country to the Jews. And then indeed Ptolemy, with pleasure, made such a league of friendship with Alexander, and subdued Zoilus. But when he afterwards heard that he had privily sent to Cleopatra his mother, he broke the league with him, which yet he had confirmed with an oath, and fell upon him, and besieged Ptolemais, because it would not receive him. However, leaving his generals, with some part of his forces, to go on with the siege, he went immediately with the rest to lay Judea waste. And when Alexander understood this to be Ptolemais' intention, he also got together about 50,000 soldiers out of his own country, nay, as some writers have said, 80,000. He then took his army and went to meet Ptolemy, but Ptolemy fell upon Asochus, a city of Galilee, and took it by force on the Sabbath day, and there he took about 10,000 slaves, and a great deal of other prey. He then tried to take Sepphoris, which was a city not far from that which was destroyed, but lost many of his men. Yet did he then go to fight with Alexander, which Alexander met him at the river Jordan, near a certain place called Saphoth, not far from the river Jordan, and pitched his camp near to the enemy. He had, however, 8,000 in the first rank, which he styled Hecatontomachi, having shields of brass. Those in the first rank of Ptolemy's soldiers also had shields covered with brass. But Ptolemy's soldiers in other respects were inferior to those of Alexander, and therefore were more fearful of running hazards. But Philostephanus, the camp master, put great courage into them, and ordered them to pass the river, which was between their camps. Nor did Alexander think fit to hinder their passage over it, for he thought that if the enemy had once gotten the river on their back, that he should the easier take them prisoners, when they could not flee out of the battle. In the beginning of which, the acts on both sides, with their hands and with their alacrity, were alike, and a great slaughter was made by both the armies. But Alexander was superior, till Philostephanus opportunely brought up the auxiliaries, to help those that were giving way. But as there were no auxiliaries to afford help to that part of the Jews that gave way, it fell out that they fled, and those near them did not assist them, but fled along with them. However, Ptolemy's soldiers acted quite otherwise, for they followed the Jews and killed them, till at length those that slew them pursued after them when they had made them all run away, and slew them so long, that their weapons of iron were blunted, and their hands quite tired from the slaughter. For the report was that 30,000 men were then slain. Timagenes says there were 50,000. As for the rest, they were part of them taken captives, and the other part ran away to their own country. After this victory, Ptolemy overran all the country, and when night came on, he abode in certain villages of Judea, which when he found full of women and children, he commanded his soldiers to strangle them and to cut them into pieces, and then to cast them into boiling cauldrons, and then to devour their limbs as sacrifices. This commandment was given, that such as fled from the battle and came to them might suppose their enemies were cannibals and eat men's flesh, and might on that account be still more terrified at them upon such a sight. And both Strabo and Nicholas of Damascus affirm that they used these people after this manner, as I have already related. Ptolemy also took Ptolemais by force, as we have declared elsewhere.